This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, live from the WNYC studios in Soho. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us. Whether you're listening on the radio, live streaming, or on demand, I'm really grateful you are here. As you know, the great Tina Turner passed away yesterday, and for the next 2 hours, we'll be taking your memories of her. Maybe there's a song that meant a lot to you, or you saw her perform. Did your impressions of her change after you read her memoir or saw the 1993 biopic version of it called What's Love Got to Do With It? Let us know. We have this great new old way to communicate. You can now text us here at WNYC. You can text us at 212-433-9692. And later in the show, we will read your texts and we'll play some classic Tina tunes. Text us 212-433-9692 with your remembrances of Tina Turner. That's part of today's show. Here's what else is coming up. We have a live and studio performance with singer-songwriter Pratik Kuhad. We'll have a listening party with poet and musician Aja Monet. And we'll mark the end of the series, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. That is our plan today. So let's get this started with Parade. The musical Parade is challenging in the best sense of the word. It is a challenge to sensitively stage a musical about a 1915 mob lynching of a Jewish man accused of murder. After all, it is based on a true story. Leo Frank was a New Yorker who moved to Atlanta with his wife Lucille, and he ran a pencil factory, where one day a 13-year-old girl, an employee, was found dead. Despite little evidence and thanks in part to press coverage that whipped up anti-Semitism lurking beneath Atlanta's genteel southern surface, Frank was sentenced to death. His wife fought mightily for an appeal, and when it was announced that Frank's death sentence would be commuted, a mob took Leo Frank from the jail and hanged him. The case and subsequent lynching helped lead to the formation of the Anti-Defamation League. With its dynamic performances and inventive direction, Parade is also challenging to an audience member, where one can find themselves applauding the riveting staging and performance of a song about white supremacy. But that's what good theater can do, right? Challenge us. And it is good theater. Very good. Parade is up for 6 Tony Awards, including for our next guests, Ben Platt, who is now Tony nominated for his role as Frank, and director Michael Arden, also Tony nominated. Let's listen to a bit of Ben Platt starring alongside Tony nominee Michaela Diamond as Leo and Lucille Frank. Here's a bit of Platt's emotional performance. This is It's Hard to Speak My Heart from the Parade cast album.
I never touched that girl. You think I'd hurt a child, yet I'd hardly seen her face before. I swore we'd barely met. These people try to scare you with things I've never said. I know it makes no sense. I swear.
Joining us now is Ben Platt. Hi, Ben.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for asking. And director Michael Arden. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. So happy to be here.
So, Michael, this is a revival. It had its first run 25 years ago. When did talks begin to bring it back?
A few years back, we put together a reading that Ben starred in along with Michaela, and that was pre-pandemic. And so there was some interest in sort of seeing if this was something that wanted to find its way back to a stage. But it really came together in a more real way when City Center of New York contacted me and said, is there something you'd like to revisit? And this was at the top of my list. And so that was last summer, I suppose. So it's come together pretty quick. We sort of started last summer putting this together. It had a short run at City Center in the fall and then transferred to Broadway this spring.
So, Ben, you were just a tot when this was first staged. When were you first exposed to Parade?
You know, I grew up with a lot of exposure to musical theater. My family loves musical theater. And so very much part of the canon is, of course, Jason Robert Brown. And several of the songs from Parade are very beloved in the theater community. So I think I was exposed to sort of bits and pieces as a child and songs from the show. And then when I was in high school, there was a production in Los Angeles that came from the Donmar Warehouse in London. So I got to see a full staging when I was about 14. And of course, was immediately taken with the story, both as a theater nerd and as a Jew. And immediately Leo went on my list of dream roles.
That Donmar staging, Michael, was in 2007. And you think about everything that has happened since then. Think about 25 years ago. Just think about the past 5 years, all of the cultural shifts and the awareness and the racial and reckoning and the way we think about the theater canon, the way we think about presentation on stage. What were some of the things in the book that needed to be addressed given the cultural shifts of the past even 5 years?
Well, I mean, it's an incredibly complex story. And if you look at when it was written, you know, it premiered on Broadway in 98, 99, and it was during the Clinton administration. And sort of, I think that audiences, especially audiences for a show like Parade, were thinking, oh, we're patting ourselves on the back, we sort of dealt with a lot of these issues, and therefore it seemed like more of a period piece, you know. But when looking at it now, we're kind of, you know, we've been examining our own culture and society in ways that's a bit more critical than I think we once did, for the better. And so, you know, we're sort of looking at a lot of different parts of society in Parade, and some of which, you know, there could be a whole musical written about the Black experience and perspective on Parade, but you know, we're choosing to focus on Leo and Lucille Frank and their journey through this. So we really wanted to make sure that we were, you know, telling the central story, but also taking care to make sure that all perspectives from different people at this time were being recognized and told, even if they weren't the central thrust.
Yeah, Ben, you know, even intellectually, I was locked in, but I, as a Black woman, seeing all those Confederate flags, I felt a chill at certain points, especially during that big opening number. I'm curious, what's been challenging for you as a person? I know you're a professional. I know this is what you do for a living. But as a human being, what's been challenging about being in this role?
Certainly. I mean, it's very difficult subject matter. And of course, playing Leo and having the experience of where the story goes each night and it is a challenging thing and sort of hangs over my days at all times. But I feel that, you know, any piece of theater worth doing is going to come with some sacrifices and some bleed into your life experience. And so I sort of welcome that challenge. And thankfully, Michael has created such an incredible environment for me and Michaela and for the whole company where there's incredible sensitivity and care for us as people and as human beings before us as artists. Mm-hmm. And so I think we were really set up for success in terms of anytime some triggering material or piece of music or prop or imagery was introduced, there was a lot of care taken to make sure that everyone was prepared for it. And we certainly are all holding each other very, very closely, particularly Michaela and I, you know, thanks to the sort of structure of the story, we're very much the two of us against the world in terms of this show. And so to have a partner on that island going through all of this and receiving this sort of oppressive language and this story together has been really the saving grace for me of the experience. And she's become a life friend for sure.
Michael, there's a very smart decision was made. I don't know if it was your decision. I'd be curious how it came about that Senator Raphael Warnock of Georgia, this play takes place in Georgia, welcomes the audience, which I just thought was really, really a smart choice, given that there's some tension between pitting minority groups against one another in the play, the disdain for the Confederate supporters Leo has, seeing these men belong in zoos. You know, Raphael Warnock is such a calming presence. How did that come about?
It was an idea that I had. We have to remind the audience to turn their cell phones off, unfortunately. I knew we wanted to do so in a way that sort of let the audience know where they were going to be spending the next few hours. So the senator immediately came to mind, and we reached out to his office, and he agreed. And I wrote the script that he says every night through recording in the house. You know, and like you said, this is a time when minorities were pitted against each other. You know, it was sort of there was infighting that was sort of constructed and puppeteered by white supremacy, and so I do believe that the Black community of his time and the Jewish community are inextricably tied, because they were both trying sort of in vain in some moments to fight this huge adversary of white supremacy and the old ways, you know, as the South was sort of grappling with its trauma from the Civil War and not in the best of ways. So it was a way to welcome the audience to kind of look at how incredibly far we've come, that there is this Black man elected to the highest, you know, station of the state. And I think it's a wonderful entrance into our world. We hear his beautiful accent, his Georgia accent. He lets us know that he is a senator from the great state of Georgia, and invites us into a world that is, you know, his. So it's an exciting thing, and it's I'm so grateful that he said yes, and he's come to see the show since then, and it was lovely to get to meet him.
We're having a conversation about Parade, running now at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater. It is nominated for Best Musical Revival. We speak with Ben Platt, the actor, and Michael Arden, the director. So, Ben, when we first meet Leo, he's really unhappy with this life in Georgia. What's really bothering him?
You know, he's sort of a fish out of water, which tends to be the characters that I'm drawn to for some reason, are these sort of isolated characters. But I what I love about Leo is that his isolation is due entirely to his locale. You know, he is from Brooklyn, and if you were to put him among his own people, I think he's someone who would fit in very beautifully. And it's not, he's not necessarily the kind of man who, no matter where he is, wants to be living an isolated life. I think he just, you know, doesn't gel with the society that he's a part of, and is very headstrong and, you know, even aggressive against this kind of Southern culture and this sort of disappearance and assimilation of kind of loud and proud Judaism as per New York and the North. And so he certainly starts in a place of isolation. And I think what I love kind of most about the character is, you know, obviously he's this sort of symbol and has become this martyr and stands for all of these very big things. But in the way that he's been written by Alfred Urey, our book writer, and by Jason Robert Brown, composer, he is a difficult character and a very flawed character, and has, you know, a snobbishness and a sort of a chip on his shoulder. And to play somebody so imperfect and so flawed and still sort of assert that they are deserving of due process and of justice, I think is a far more compelling story and character as an actor than sort of a perfectly lovable sort of martyr, if that makes sense.
Let's hear a bit of the song, How Can I Call This Home? This is Ben Platt as Leo Frank in Parade.
These people make me tense. I live in fear they'll start a conversation. These people make no sense. They talk and I just stare and shut my mouth. It's like a foreign land. I didn't understand that being Southern's not just being in the South. When I look out on all this, how can I call this home?
So, Ben, what kind of research should you do into Leo to prepare?
Well, there's a fantastic book by Steve Oney. It's called The Dead Shall Rise. That's sort of become kind of the primary text in terms of this case and this period. It gives a beautiful amount of context and this very thorough investigation of his of that whole sort of period from all sides. And so I certainly read that. I know that Michaela did, too. And I also had the opportunity to go and unearth some archival stuff, some letters that Leo wrote and telegrams sent back and forth between him and different publications and supporters while he was in prison. So certainly had a good amount of sort of backdrop and tapestry from history. But I think the challenge and sort of the important thing has been really treating the text of the show as the primary source, you know, as important as it is to have context for the time period, and Michael has made sure that the production is very much rooted in reality and in history. At the end of the day, you know, as an actor, the sort of playable character exists mostly on the page, and while it's very much based in reality, this piece and much of it is directly taken from history, it is somewhat fictionalized. Mm-hmm. And of course the arc of Leo and Lucille and their characters are tailored to this particular piece. So I think for me it was important to kind of have the context and understand where it is this is all taking place, but to really craft the character first and foremost from the Alfred and Jason's writing.
Michael, you display on the wall behind the stage projections of the real people that these characters are based on. When did that decision come into the process?
Well, that was sort of something I knew from the beginning that I wanted to be integrated into the production. I wanted to make sure that at all times the audience was reminded that, no, these people aren't just characters invented by our fabulous writers, but they lived, they breathed, they fought, they suffered injustices, they loved, you know. And so it was also important to me to give the audience, arm them with that information, to show them a real picture of Lucille and Leo at the same moment when we meet Ben and Michaela playing Lucille and Leo. So we're able to hold an artistic, emotional truth in our minds and representative truth of these two actors on stage. But we're also able to hold this sort of stationary historical truth in our minds. And then we kind of are, as an audience, then get to put those two together, and we create a version of these people in our own minds as an audience member that we then grapple with, sort of that lives somewhere between, you know, art and truth. So that was from the beginning. I knew I wanted to really let the audience be constantly reminded of the real history here.
My guests are Ben Platt and Michael Arden. We are discussing Parade. We'll hear more from the Parade cast album, and we'll discuss the relationship between Leo and Lucille after a quick break. This is All of It. You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guests this hour are Tony nominees Ben Platt and Michael Arden. We're discussing Parade, which is now running at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater. It is up for Best Musical Revival. It's a show about the mob lynching of a Jewish man accused of murder. That's Leo Frank. That's the role that Ben Platt is playing. So the murder is the catalyst for a lot of the action in the play, Ben, but they're really at the heart of the story, and you alluded to it earlier, was this relationship that's been written into this version between Leo and Lucille, his wife. She becomes his most dedicated defender. But at first, when we meet them, there's something else going on in this relationship. They're not estranged, but there's a little bit of a coldness. What's behind that?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the many things that makes this a beloved piece of musical theater, particularly in the theater community, is this juxtaposition between this very difficult subject matter and time period, and then this really beautiful, very human, very sort of relatable love story. And that sort of, as you alluded to, kind of enters at a time, you know, that love stories don't often begin, which is that, you know, these two are already married and have already been together for a certain period of time and have managed to, you know, find a dynamic, but there is a lot of, there's a lack of connection, and they're having trouble really fully seeing each other. And they through sort of the trauma and the all of the painful things that they go through, they are really finally able to fully take in the other and fully find each other again and connect. And for me, you know, among all of the difficulties of the show, the thing that's the most joyful and hopeful to do every night is to sort of live that story with Michaela, who is obviously incredibly gifted and a wonderful person, but to get to go on that journey that is sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of the momentum and direction of it. You know, it heads towards such a hopeful, joyful, connective place as you get towards the end of the show, as opposed to sort of the historical narrative. It's a very painful but really beautiful juxtaposition, and to just focus on the three dimensionality of that relationship and of those two characters really connecting and finding each other, just as an actor, has been definitely the most gratifying part of the experience.
Let's listen to a very moving song from the show. This is a duet between Leo and his wife, Lucille, played by Michaela Diamond. This is All the Wasted Time from Parade.
Roots too strong to fall.
Michael, I'm going to ask you a serious question on in a moment, but when I think about Michaela, I mean, just a few years ago, she was riding the subway to LaGuardia. It's amazing when you think about time and what can happen in such a short amount of time, and she's this incredibly talented young performer, you know?
Yeah, she, Michaela, it seems to me that, you know, we're watching the birth of a Broadway legend mm-hmm. here. Audiences are so enthralled with her, and to see her and Ben together, what they're able to do, you know, he is just such a special and unique and gifted performer and artist, and the two of them together challenge each other, and they just, it's like they lift each other up every night. It's a wonder to see.
How did you work with these two actors to help the audience understand the evolution of this relationship between Leo and Lucille, from this sort of, as I said, a little bit chilly, they're not connecting at the beginning, to being truly connected right before he dies? Like, what did you talk to them about in terms of staging, in terms of the way they physically interacted or didn't interact with one another?
Yeah, I think we looked at a lot of, you know, where they were physically with each other at different points in their relationship. Like, how did they feel about their own bodies? It was something we chatted about a bit, you know, how much comfort did they have, not only with each other, but with themselves. And you know, starting from a place of Ben and Michaela here and now, living in the world we do today, and they're bringing so much of their personal experience into each moment. And you know, then by the end of the play, it's really like they, as if they're just meeting actually for the first time, because they're both able to let down the guard and the defense of who they think they need to be for each other, and actually are just approaching each other as, you know, almost with childlike wonder and with, sexual curiosity. And it's beautiful to watch. Every scene sort of changes, and you know, as opposed to most traditional love stories where I feel like you're kind of falling, you know, in love, this is sort of a peeling away of all of the brick and mortar that they have put up to protect themselves in this harsh world because of who they are. And so, you know, so much of who they are and how they fit into society affects their relationship, and unfortunately it takes this awful separation for them to find that.
My guest, director Michael Arden, and actor Ben Platt, were discussing Parade, now running at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater. It is nominated for Best Musical Revival, and each of my guests are nominated in their respective categories. So, Ben, during intermission, people who see the show, you're on stage. Leo has been imprisoned. The rest of the cast leaves the stage. You're sitting at just a desk, and you're there throughout the entire intermission. Are you still in character during that time? If so, what are you thinking? If not, what are you thinking?
Well, it definitely varies. You know, this is among Michael's very brilliant concepts was this one. And when we initially discussed the production, he warned me about it nice and early. So it was good to know going in that this was going to be a component. And of course, I immediately saw the value conceptually of just, you know, the audience's inability to fully disengage from the story. And also for me, sort of a way to pay homage to Leo and the last 2 years of his life that he spent in isolation, which is a very kind of dormant and not so propulsive concept in an otherwise very propulsive show. So I think it was a beautiful way to always have a moment to honor that. But it varies, you know. It's something like a little over 2 hours a week that I'm sitting up there. So there are days where everything is fully connected and I can stay very literally in the reality. There are days when it's about making it through the 15 minutes and sort of a mm-hmm. bit more of like a dissociative meditative state. There are days when there's distracting things happening in the crowd. I try to take each one as it comes and just do my best to remain focused in whatever way that means on any given day.
Have you spoken to Jessica Chastain at all about this? Because the Dollhouse begins with her on a rotating stage for 15 to 20 minutes by herself before the show starts.
Yes, we just did we had the opportunity to do a roundtable together and we discussed it. You know, hers is has such a different impulse, mm-hmm. obviously, and conceptually comes from a very different place. But the main difference is that she is, you know, decidedly making eye contact with each and every mm-hmm. member of the audience as they come in. And obviously for me, that's quite the opposite of what I'm hoping to feel in that moment. And it's much more about feeling like someone that's sort of on display within his own world. And mm-hmm. so I can't imagine what her experience must be, having to look all of these Chastain fans in the eye as they enter.
Well, it's so interesting, Michael, what that moment also tells us about human nature, because as I, you know, put on my reporter's hat during intermission, watching people trying to figure out what to do, because obviously there are people there who are fans of Ben who want to take a picture, but then suddenly realize, wow, this might be inappropriate. This might not be the best time to take a selfie. I'm curious about how you were thinking about the audience as a director with this 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this 15 minutes, or some nights 16 minutes, is a little microcosm for how we behave and how we both associate and disassociate with stories in the theater. And you know, he's certainly, you know, these 15 minutes represent 2 years that he sat in a prison cell. So, you know, we're obviously not sitting there for 2 years, but 15 minutes can feel excruciating. I'm sure Ben, you know, heaven help you, I'm so sorry, and I've asked you to do this. But, you know, you see certainly it runs the gamut of people, you know, wanting to take pictures of Ben Platt. You know, you see people who are surprised that this is happening, and are torn between, you know, getting their sippy cup full of red wine or sitting with him, because, you know, we do have freedom as the audience, and mm-hmm. some people don't leave their seats and sit with him in this kind of meditative state. And I think for me as a theater maker, I'm really interested in challenging the audience and making them an active participant. And this certainly does. I mean, it sort of gives the audience a choice when Leo doesn't have a choice. And that choice, I think, requires them to kind of examine who they are in relation to Leo, who they are, what their comfort is, what their, how disciplined they are. You know, it might not even occur to some people, but I think it does, I think, register. You do have to kind of like make a choice to get up. Well, you know, we're not used to standing up and walking away and getting in line for the bathroom when mm-hmm. that star is on stage. So I think just by nature of that fact, we're kind of engaging the audience to, they are part of the story at that point.
Ben, when the show began in February, it was met with protests from neo-Nazis who stood outside the theater. Was it hard to perform those nights?
It was only one, thankfully. It was the very first preview. Night. And mm-hmm. and one night, yes. You know, it's yes and no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a reality that we knew was there, and to see tangible proof of it is obviously frightening and upsetting. So in that regard, it adds a layer of apprehension that isn't already there for having your first preview on Broadway already. So I think certainly, yes, it was difficult to take in the undeniability of that. But I also think that as a company, we really instinctually and immediately banded together and chose to use it as a sort of galvanizing thing, and a reminder that there is such a really direct and urgent reason for us to be doing this every night. And there are days in any show where you feel like I can't possibly climb this mountain today or even twice today. And so I always tend to go back to that evening in my mind on the days where I feel that way, because it's, you know, you don't get the privilege in every piece of art to have such clear motivation as a person to be doing what you're doing, even if the art is beautiful. So to have both of those things in this piece is a once in a lifetime experience for sure.
Parade is running now at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater. It is nominated for Best Musical. Ben Platt and Michael Arden are both nominated in their categories. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.